And joining me right now here on the phone line to preview Game 5 coming up tonight in Cleveland between the Magic and the Cavaliers. This guy does a great job with his podcast, Penny and Pops. Yes, he's Adam Papagiorgio. Adam, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. I can't wait for this Game 5. Let's get it on.
I think of you where I first met you at the Amway Center when it was called that, and Jacques Vaughn was the coach. That was 10 years ago, buddy. I hope you know that.
It's been a long, we'll call it dozen years. How about that? You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs during that time. I mean, the Magic have now won for the first time since 2011, two games in a playoff series. So, I mean, it's been since 2011. So it's been a long gap.
Yes, it has. As a guy that's rooted for the Magic for a long time, are you really cherishing what's happened here over the last, I'd say, couple weeks of the season?
Yeah, 100%. Look, very few people had the Magic going this far into a season and where they're 2-2 in a playoff series. It's one of those now where this is the last season where this team doesn't have expectations. Like, everything from here on out this postseason is just a bonus because you have your studs in Paolo, Franz, you have Jalen Suggs that now making up a core. And starting the summer, that's when expectations are going to grow and people are going to look at the Magic and see and say, okay, how does this team keep improving? Whereas now, this is just unblemished fun at this point. Like, there's no expectations the rest of the way.
Were you in shock by how they came out and played in Game 3 when they're up like 30 points compared to how they played in the first two games?
I wouldn't say shocked because, no one knows how this Cavs series is going to play out, but if the Magic for some reason don't win the series, you know, you can look at that Game 1 and go, if the Magic weren't super nervous out of the gate, they'd probably come back and win Game 1. But I mean, not really, because just the Magic been so good at home this season. The Magic have been one of the best teams at home, and the fans showed up. They brought the energy that they needed to show up, and they boosted the players. Now, did I expect the Magic to win both Game 3 and 4 by a combined 61 points? No, but I did expect them to play well and win both these games. But it just goes to show how weird the series is, because this is the first time in NBA history where that's happened, where a team's lost the first two games of the series and then gone back home and dominated by that much, where they're averaging 30.5 points at home.
And we've not had a close game yet in any of them, in theory.
Not really, no. The closest one might have been Game 1, really. That's the closest that really it's gotten.
What adjustments have you seen Jamal Mosley and his team make in Game 3s and 4s, especially in the defensive end? What have you seen, Adam?
Well, the big one is it seems like Suggs is more full-time on Donovan Mitchell. That's kind of one of the big ones. And then the other one is, Mosley, to his credit, it's been working so far, has reinserted Wendell Carter Jr. to start at center. And so you have Jonathan Isaac now, who is the best defender on the team, but he's now able to prop up the bench unit to where the bench unit was a lot better these two home games as opposed to the first two games in Cleveland, because you have Jonathan Isaac out there protecting not the greatest defenders in the world in Mo Wagner, Joe Ingles, Cole Anthony. Although to Mo Wagner's credit, he statistically actually had a pretty good defensive series. But those have been the two big things. One, it's more focus with Suggs on Donovan Mitchell, and then just having Jonathan Isaac able to be more of his, I guess, self, more of his roaming self supporting the bench.
It was crazy in Game 4 where Jonathan Isaac, Wendell Carter Jr., you're bringing up these bigs. They're hitting three-pointers as well. Would you give them the green light coming up tonight with those guys?
Yeah, sure. Wendell Carter Jr., the majority of his tenure with the Magic has been a good three-point shooter. Three-point shooting has not been an issue with Wendell, especially when he's more like top of the key area rather than the corners. Whereas Jonathan Isaac, over the past 3-4 months of the season, Isaac's proven that he's a 40% three-point shooter, and he absolutely dominates the corners hitting threes. And I think he went 4 of 6, I think it was, in Game 4, if I'm right. And yeah, I mean, if they're open, you got to shoot them. That's how you're going to beat Cleveland, is you got to knock down open threes. It didn't happen the first two games. It's been a lot better since Game 3, with Game 3 and 4, how that went.
We're here with Adam Papagiorgio, does a great job with his Magic podcast, Penny and Pop's podcast. Follow him on Twitter, especially going into tonight. All right, you brought up the backcourt. I thought Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, even Markelle Fultz, they were big. They finally showed up, made buckets. How big are they moving forward for this team's success?
Well, Fultz is the most fascinating thing, right? Because he went from most likely he was going to be kicked out of the rotation to he's putting up double-digit point performances in games 3 and 4. Those are massive. I think Cole Anthony has not had a good series yet, and you're expecting a really good Cole Anthony game to come. And then Jalen Suggs has been just awesome. It's amazing what happens when he finally had a full, healthy offseason to where he's a reliable three-point shooter, and then you combine that with just him being one of the best defenders in the league. He's going to make an all-NBA defensive team. It's just a matter of whether that's first or second team. But Suggs has been brewing what he's been doing.
Fultz, all right, I want to get your thoughts on that. Fultz, like games 1 and 2, he looked completely lost. Like, he didn't even want to be on the team. Is there some difference in it? Like, do you feel like he's healthy? What do you think it is, Adam?
I think it's a focus thing with him. Look, his jump shot, he's not going to be hitting threes anytime soon. Let's put it that way. But between, like, the knee issue earlier in the season, maybe there was some thoracic outlet syndrome, something going on with the shoulder that wasn't publicly mentioned, that's been hurting him. But he doesn't need to shoot jumpers to be effective. That's the thing. Like, obviously, you want him to hit, like, that 10, 15-footer that he's usually good at. And he was knocking down a few of those these past few games. But he Markel is best utilized when he's on the ball and he's able to carve through the paint and find guys, dish out, and knock down threes. And I think that can keep carrying forward in this postseason. But it's all about a mentality thing, because with Markel, you know, it looked like he was kind of ghosting himself out there games 1 and 2. He was not mentally engaged. I don't know what happened between then and then games 3 and 4 at home. Maybe just being at home helped a lot. But you want to see more of that game 3 and 4 mentality in game 5 in Cleveland. If he brings that, this is going to be a completely different game from games 1 and 2.
My thing with Suggs, what he brings to the table is that toughness that they've been lacking. Where I was at that Milwaukee game, regular season finale, he went right into Patrick Beverley's face and didn't back down. Then he did it again in game 4 against Garland. Did you like that from Jalen Suggs standing up for everyone?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, it's playoff intensity basketball. You do not want to blink first. And Jalen Suggs is not a guy that's going to blink. And yeah, look, it was, what, 68-67, the Magic were up when Suggs and Garland had that moment where they both picked up the double text. And then the Magic blew him out from there. Like, Wendell Carter Jr. hit back-to-back threes, and then Isaac had that steal and then three-pointer. The Magic grew up a dozen, and the game was over in game 4. That was a backbreaker moment, and all because Suggs just did not back down. And, of course, I want to see that. Obviously, you don't want him getting thrown out, but in situations like that, yeah, bring it on.
See, now you're hyped. Now you're ready to get out there. I loved your answer. We're here with Adam Papagiorgio. All right, we've gone 8 minutes without talking about Franz and Paolo. I think that's a record. So let's go to Franz first. How big was he in that game 4 performance?
I mean, it was massive because Paolo didn't have the greatest start to the game. Franz has been good in both the home games. Like, even though game 3, he didn't have like a huge statistical game. The way he started game 3 when the Magic were down 6-0, you know, he was the one that got the offense going, and then Paolo just took over from there in game 3. And then game 4, he saw that Paolo wasn't getting it going early again, and Franz just went to work. And this is the Franz Wagner that we know he can be and is. And we've been getting, you know, historical performances, game 3 Paolo and game 4 Franz, just historical stuff that has rarely happened over the past 40 years in the league. And, yeah, from a conference perspective, Franz needed that. Franz for the series in the playoffs is still shooting the three ball better than he was in the regular season. And we're starting to see some playoff Franz, which is great.
The fact that he can go left or right with his signature kind of Euro step move to the basket, I don't know if anyone in the league can stop it if he's got it going. And I'll give him the highest praise. I think he's got superstar potential on him. Do you feel that way, Adam?
Oh, yeah, I've been thinking that for a while. I mean, he proved it when he helped Germany win the FIBA World Cup in the summer. You know, he's got it. But he doesn't have that gigantic ego where he needs to be a number one guy. That's why him and Paolo work off each other so well, because everyone knows Paolo is the number one. But when you have a guy like Franz, who's also capable of being a number one but doesn't need to be, That's an amazing thing. That's tough to find in this league. Of course he has superstar potential.
For our listeners, again, in game four, in that third quarter, he outscored the Cavaliers by himself. That happened there at the Kia Center. You bring up Paolo. All right, what happened in game four where he only scored 9 points?
I mean, he just didn't have a great start to the game. And look, he let Franz just kind of cook. That's the great thing is Paolo is still very valuable on the floor if he's not when he's not pressing too hard. He'll get his rebounds, he'll get assists. He by himself, because Paolo gets double and triple teamed over time, somebody else is gonna be open. And in game four, Franz took advantage of a lot of open gaps to the hole. Other guys chipped in offensively. Now, I think Paolo is going to have a big game five tonight for the Magic to win, and I'm feeling pretty good that it's going to happen.
If you are Cleveland, would you attack Paolo and put him in bad situations? Because he's had some bad turnovers so far in this series.
Well, that was kind of another adjustment that Mosley made with the two home games, is Paolo didn't have the ball nearly as much in his hands in games three and four as he had them in games one and two. Now, game three was phenomenal because he had a zero turnover game. You know, yeah. Game four, he got some turnovers again. But that's the thing with the Magic. It's going to be interesting to see is, are they going to lean more towards giving the ball a bit more to Franz and Suggs than Paolo, or just kind of see how it goes like that. But from a Cleveland perspective, I would expect them to try and blitz the Magic in general more, whoever has the ball, and see how the Magic handle the pressure, because that's what the Magic did to Cleveland in games three and four. And we're going to see now how Cleveland's going to adjust. Do they change their starting lineup? Does Max Strus come out for somebody else? There's a lot of things that they can do now. Will J.B. Bickerstaff do them? Who knows?
I'll give you the cliche question. Who has the pressure to win tonight, Cleveland or Orlando?
It's 100% Cleveland. It really is. Like, if Cleveland loses this game, that game six Friday back in Orlando is going to be insane. And Cleveland could absolutely collapse and get obliterated if it comes down to that. But with this game five, look, historically in a 2-2 series, whoever wins game five, I think it's like 80-something%, whoever wins it wins the series. But the Magic do not have to win this game five. They don't. But all the pressure is entirely on Cleveland because they have so much kind of uncertainty and I almost want to say tumult within that locker room between J.B. Bickerstaff is a dead man walking if they don't win this first round series, and then Donovan Mitchell could be out of Cleveland in the offseason. So they have all the pressure in the world on them, whereas for the Magic, again, all this is bonus. This is all brand new stuff. Like, if you look at the history of the Magic and some of their stars and superstars, Shaq and Penny never lost their first playoff series. Dwight Howard lost his first playoff series. You got Franz and Paolo with the opportunity to win their first playoff series ever. And so, again, all the pressure's on Cleveland.
If the Magic lose tonight, is it still a party on Friday night with that game?
I wouldn't say it's a party. It's going to be electric. It's going to be, but there's going to be a little bit of added nervousness just because, you know, the series could end if the Magic lose at home. But, no, I think it's still going to be a rocking atmosphere at Kia Center, no doubt.
It is going to be wild. You were telling me off air, you're ready. You're going, you can't wait. I can't either. I just want a close game tonight. Can we get that at least, a competitive four-quarter game in this series?
I mean, I just want a Magic win, to be honest. But, look, I mean, I'll take a close game if it means having a heart attack during it and then the Magic pulling it out. But, yeah, look, the big thing with this is you want the Magic to actually have a lead because
yes.
The Magic didn't lead for a single second games one and two. Like, they've been getting off the bad starts in all four games. It just so happens that for game three and four, you know, they figured out being at home helped, but you can't go down. You ideally don't want to be down 5-0, 6-0 like you have each of these first four games. And I'll feel a lot confident about us winning the game if we're actually in the lead. It could be 2-0. I don't care. I just want to be leading at some point in this game.
You talk about the offseason, Adam Papagiorgio. Where do you think this team can improve to get even better next season in the Eastern Conference?
Well, that's the other impressive thing now is because, one, players all around the league already know how popular Jamal Mosley is as head coach. And then you look at this roster where your core guys are 22 years of age or younger, essentially, if you're looking at Paolo, Franz, and Jalen Suggs. So there's an opportunity if you want to go get a star guard to put next to Suggs, or if you want to get a really, really good center, to upgrade from what you currently have, you have options. Like, there's so many options. And look, because of how the salary cap works and how contract extensions are going to work, you know, the Magic are going to have this 12-month window between, you know, now and the trade deadline next year, essentially, that they are going to have to upgrade one way or another, because that salary cap room, that salary cap space is going to evaporate and they're not going to be able to improve. So there's going to be options, but the Magic are going to look pretty appealing if they win this first round series. I'll definitely say that. Already look appealing, and they're going to look even better now if they make the second round.
I saw the stat, Adam, where for the first time since 2005, no LeBron, KD, or Steph in round two. Do you feel like we're in a changing of the guard where these young teams are now going to take over the NBA?
It feels like it. It does. I mean, look, the champion right now is Denver, defending champs. Jokic is still fairly young. Milwaukee has Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's been hurt. That's why the Bucks are likely going to get knocked out of this first round matchup. And then you got Boston. You got Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You know, if Denver's not the favorite, it's probably Boston. But beyond that, then you look at all these young guys. You know, you got the Magic, you got OKC, you got the Timberwolves, you've got maybe Haliburton with the Pacers. You know, that team could be better. But you know, you look at Memphis with all the injuries and all the weird stuff going on with Ja Morant. You know, they're still technically a young uprising, you know, young team on the rise. I think the league's going to be fine. They just got to do better promoting its stars. Like the Magic, for instance, you have all these kind of national pundits who have not been watching the Magic in recent years, who still don't know what to think of this Magic team. And they're going to look pretty foolish if the Magic are in the second round and they still don't know how to talk about this team.
I think you know this. So this year, the Magic were on once on national TV because of the Shaq retirement game, which they got blown out by Oklahoma City. I don't think the year before they were on national TV. I think they can't remember. I think they were going to play Oklahoma City. So
and then Chet got hurt.
Yeah. So. This is the most they've been on national TV since when, Adam? With the answer.
I don't know, man. It's been a while. I mean, you basically have to go back to the Vooch team when we were in playoff series. But even then, like, it's been rough.
Yeah.
The Magic have not consistently been on national TV since Dwight Howard was wearing a Magic jersey. And I can't even count these NBA TV games as national TV, really. They've only had two games on national TV in this playoff series. It was ESPN Game 1 and then TNT Game 4, I believe. So it's not even a given that Game 6 will even be on either TNT or ESPN. You know, we got to hope that Boston ends the series against Miami for that to happen. You know, that's how kind of absurd this has all been.
Let's end with this here with Adam Papagiorgio. Do you feel like the players on this team are starting to become celebrities here in Central Florida? And I say that like I'm at the arena. People are wearing Suggs and Paolo and Franz. They're wearing the jerseys and people are really cheering for these guys. Do you start to feel like that? Like it's a Disney movie.
I don't know about Disney movie, but no, these guys are definitely popular and recognizable for sure. The cool thing about Orlando is that, everyone knows who these guys are, but they're not going to bombard them and try and ruin their lives just to get like a selfie or do like whatever. Like you get a ton of respect if you are on a great Magic team. Like that's why even when all these Magic players either retire or move on to different teams, a lot of them keep their houses here because this is a great place to live. And there's a lot of basketball fans around town. There really are. It may not seem like it because not a lot of them are on social media, but this is a very, very, very good basketball market. And yeah, these guys are definitely studs around town.
I'll say this. So T-Mac was at those games and they showed him on the Jumbotron and he got like a great ovation. But man, when I was at this one game and Shaq was sitting courtside, when they showed him on the Jumbotron, people lost their minds at him at the Kia Center. Nobody beat Shaq. I'm sorry. When it comes to Magic history, no one.
Yeah, look, despite some Magic fans having some grievances still with Shaq, obviously with how it all ended, it's one of those things where Shaq is still a very popular person. I mean, he's done a lot for the community. Even now, Shaq still does stuff for the Orlando community that isn't even an affiliation with the team, you know, with the franchise. And so Shaq's a popular guy around town. Shaq's always going to be the man. Shaq's going to be the reason why people know who the Orlando Magic are.
That's a great way of looking at it. All right. How can we check out your podcast, buddy?
The Penny and Puff podcast. It's all on all listening audio podcast streams. So, I mean, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find ours on there.
Awesome stuff. Adam Papageorgiou, thank you so much for coming on, and enjoy the game tonight, all right?
All right, you too. Appreciate it.